Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Bing, bing, bidip, bing, 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 bidip, bidding, 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 bidding.
Welcome back to the final episode of season one of Suggestible in the City, where we recap every episode, rain, hail, or shine, or then just like that.
And let me tell you, it's been raining. It's been raining a lot
the
today.
Last 2 weeks, Claire. I mean, maybe there's like the sheen has like worn off the show.
No, I have so many feelings. I have so many feelings.
You
James.
Said I don't want to take any notes.
I know, because I'm so mad and it's just going to come out organically like some kind of horrible diarrhea.
Oh, wow. I'm very excited for that.
I'm so sorry for that metaphor, everyone. I'm Claire Twenty, by the way. James here also, just in case you didn't know. We're married.
If you happen to come across this and you're like, oh, well, this is the last episode, we might do a season two for this, but also we have a podcast together called Suggestible, where we do general suggestions. This is a spin-off of that.
Correct, exactly. And this is a spin-off of our show, which is connected to the fact that Sex and the City, and just like that, is kind of like a spin-off of Sex and the City, would it be? I don't know. Does that make any sense? Collings, take that out.
One of us is having a stroke.
I'm having a stroke. I don't know what's happening. I feel so many feelings, James.
Let me tell you this though. Before you get into it, shout out to the people over at Blue Paper Towel Dispenser. It's not like a regular paper towel dispenser. You don't wave your hands under it. You wave it in front. So it's good because we got a demonstration of the product. I know now if I ever see one of them in the wild, I'll be like, oh my goodness. I know if I ever open a restaurant or a bar or a function center, maybe Blue Paper Towel Dispensers
correct
are where I want to be.
Also, side note, I also noticed one other sponsor.
Oh.
Did you?
But I don't think so. Eiffel Tower?
Cigarettos.
Oh, they said Dunhill's, didn't
yes.
they? That's interesting.
And we both smoke the same brand.
Yeah.
Okay, so Sex and the City is not
you
only
scumbags are at HBO Max.
No. They've probably got some underhand deal with
definitely
that particular brand.
Because
and they're spreading cancer.
You can't. I don't know the specifics of where you can.
No, there's a lot of legal ramifications.
But yeah, you can't like promote. I know you can't do them in like race cars anymore. You can't like have like a Marlboro car and all.
No,
this
but you
kind
can have one of the best characters, Seema, smoking sexily and rolling around ooh with a shiny, shiny hair. That hair is fabulous.
That's my favorite kind of sex scene. Just two people just rolling on top of each other.
It was, and she was sort of lounging on his stomach, and that was it. That's all you saw. And then
he's
weirdly
rude as well. He's like, she's on the phone. He's like, hey, you want any food? And I'm like, dude, she's on the fucking phone.
Okay. The other thing that really annoyed me about that scene is that he puts food in her mouth while she's talking to her friend. Her friend says very rightly, oh, I'll let you go. And Seema's like, no, definitely keep continuing.
Yeah.
But then she eats on the phone. Gross. And then she smushes her face into handsome rude man's face on the phone, so much so, like there's food and smush,
yeah,
like kiss at the same time. And Kerry, so much so, is like, oh, a kiss just like that. Would you want a kiss like full of food?
No, I don't want that.
While someone's on the phone?
I mean, I guess she's in love. I was once in a circle that began as like you're kissing, like you pass something along, and it started with a piece of cheesecake. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
Hey, what? Back up.
Like you
what
put a piece of cheesecake
mean
in your mouth
yes
and then it's all smooshed and you pass to the next person. Whoa. And I'm like, I refuse to take part in this.
Was this a game at a
yeah, it was like at a bar.
Game?
Oh, no, I was like 20, 21.
Oh.
It was awful, Claire.
If I had known this,
I still
I
think
would
about
never
that
have dated you.
Good. You shouldn't have. But I didn't take part, Claire.
But I would understand understand if it was like a sexy, I don't know, even like a straw.
People do it with like a playing card or whatever.
Yeah,
you know
that
what I mean?
Would be different, but a smooshy piece of cheesecake.
I did not like it. Anyways, what I thought about this episode was it didn't feel like an ending to a self-contained series, and it's also not interesting enough for like a continuation. I'm not like, oh, I can't wait to see what happens next. No. I'm just like, oh, okay. It's finished, is it?
I could not have cared less about it. I don't want to rewatch it. Every other episode up until the end of episode 8, I have rewatched, I'm going to admit now, 3 times at least.
Yeah.
Because I love it.
That's good.
I have loved it. And the last 2 episodes I have not even wanted to rewatch for the show that I have to record about it.
What a downer.
It just, there was something, you know what it was? Mm. It took a pivot. It feels like in the dying of Miranda's hair at the end of the episode, in the way that Carrie kind of shows up on the bridge to get rid of Big's ashes in this like spectacular dress.
And her washing up gloves.
Yeah, and her washing up, it just kind of missed the mark with that fashion moment as well.
It didn't feel poignant either, that
no,
dumping
that's
of
what
the
I mean.
Maybe
it
that's
feel
also
poignant.
Because he's awful real life.
I know, but
but
no,
I
no,
just
no.
I didn't think it was framed.
No, it wasn't
properly,
framed well.
Like,
it didn't lead into it properly. I feel like she wouldn't have left him in Paris because then she can't visit him. Which, it's sort of weird. It's like she's left him in Paris in a place where they actually didn't spend a lot of time together. No. So that's a weird plot point as well. Like, because part of the reason why, and his brother comes to say, can you put him in our family plot? And she's like, no, no, no. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take him to a city that nobody lives in, including him, where we actually kind of fought a lot.
Yeah.
And he kind of said he was going to leave me for Paris in a way in one of the seasons. No, no, I know I'm going to go wear a big woofy orange dress and I'm going to tip him out in the river there. It's just like really selfish as well, because then his brother can't just go and visit him either.
Yeah.
It's just such a weird plot choice. And I feel like what the last 2 episodes have done, and I think wrongly, is they're trying to set it up as a new version of the same show. Like Miranda gets her hair dye red. Carrie says goodbye to Big, and now she's like on the last scene, this spoiler alert, kissing her producer in the elevator. And, you know, there's Seema having a sexy romp on the phone. Yeah. Like it feels like they did all this work in moving the story into this really interesting realm of women in their 50s and 60s who've really moved forward in their lives, who are battling really difficult challenges like grief and loss and, you know, questioning their identity and their sexuality and their marriages. And they've taken it from those really dark, grave sort of but really hard-hitting sort of emotional beats and the difficulty with parenting teenagers. All that stuff is so juicy and interesting. And then they've just taken it and put it back into this kind of like frothy.
They're all young again.
Charlotte did a
bar mitzvah. She's young again.
Exactly.
They're all young again.
Seriously. Oh my God, that is so true. It's so true. It just feels like, and Carrie is now just what, like randomly kissing her producer who she had like zero chemistry with.
It's so strange because like,
elevator.
I mean, she had more chemistry with him than the teacher or whatever.
But
that date was weird I thought because he's like, so I just Googled you and you're a famous author. And I wanted to be like, you're at the auction. The auction when they were like, he's famous author, Carrie Bradshaw. And he's like, and she's like, well, I Googled you and Teacher of the Year. And I'm like, wow, these are some startling revelations that we're discovering about these characters.
Yeah.
Boo. And that, but it's weird that they're like, oh, this guy who's been in like, I don't know, 6 of these 10 episodes is like, oh, he's interested. And I'm like, I know this guy's been here, but who is this?
No,
like, I don't know anything about this dude.
He's so boring.
Yeah.
He's totally boring. He's been in the background the whole time. And yes, he's very good looking, but he's good looking in a way that you'd see him in like a Peter Jackson suit ad, which is like,
wow, that's a very specific and local reference, Claire.
Yeah, I know. But you know what I mean by when I say that? It's like a local suit company that, no shade on Peter Jackson.
Nah, fuck
this episode
Peter Jackson.
Is not sponsored. No, I actually know the people who own Peter Jackson. They're really lovely.
Well, I'm going to say,
they often have like a graying haired man that looks very much like you, actually.
Wow, thank
in like
you.
A knitted woolen jumper in a ad. And it's just so generic and boring. And I feel like the thing that also annoyed me about
this. Oh, here we go.
Oh my goodness, was the scene when Miranda and Carrie are in the bathroom and they're kind of having this reverse confrontation of when Carrie was going to Paris and Miranda's like, you're living in a fantasy. And she's like, I would rather live in a fantasy than stay here and watch you guys live your life. I want to go and live my life in Paris and, you know, all of that stuff. that is such like an incredible moment, and they're in the snow, and it's just you really believe all of that emotional tension. And they had that incredible scene with Shay when they were kissing Miranda in Carrie's, you know, apartment. That scene and the writing in that is so visceral and great. And then you have this like, it feels like from a different show where they're having this hokey conversation that doesn't really make sense. No. And Carrie's wearing a ponytail.
It was so weird. Oh, yeah. With a scrunchie.
Exactly. And then the.
Or just before you get to that, and she's like, and Miranda's like, I can't go. Oh, like, you know, or Carrie's like, you can't go. It's a 14-hour flight. And I'm thinking, like, who cares? Like, I live in Australia. It's like 30 hours to get anywhere from here. 14 hours is nothing. No. But yeah, then the rabbi, the trans rabbi comes out and is like, so I've been listening and this is what I think. And again, it's like, who are you? Like, and they just like explain what's happening and then leave.
And there's nothing new. She's like, I clearly see. Like, I don't know what they were supposed to be there for.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like pointing out exactly what the audience already knows. Yeah, well, like, that Carrie and Miranda have a really deep relationship.
And they just kind of, Carrie and Miranda then are just like. And like, I also, like, I understand that Miranda's like, hey, like, yeah, I'm giving up an internship. You know what I mean? It's she went to that weird party where Shay did the reveal that like, they're going to California by doing a song and the family's there, and that was like weird. And I get, you know, Shay's like a celebrity, so I guess, you know, all that attention and whatever, but strange thing to do.
So
and then slowly reveal that to Miranda, like, oh, I want you to come. And I also understand, like, initially I'm like, Miranda should absolutely not go. But also, like, Miranda is, I get that at a point in her life where, like, I always play by the rules. I always do like the safe and regular thing. You know, at this point in my life, I've got money, I've got stability. Why don't I do this one nice thing, you know, for myself, whether it works out or not?
Did you notice that our boy Steve was not in the episode at all?
You think I didn't notice that, Claire? Of course I noticed.
Because that's what all shits me. So he has that really poignant moment with Carrie that we felt like was only really short in last week's episode. And then really what I thought the whole season was building towards, and what I think he deserved, frankly, and what I think would have made a much more believable sort of climax and kind of tipping point, was him fighting for Miranda and her not wanting him to fight for her. But we never got to see a proper showdown between them, or a real reflection of what it means for a marriage to fall apart in that way, in a real way. Like, even Brady seems like totally fine with the fact his mum has been having an affair and has left his dad for someone else. Like, he just looks like he couldn't even care less.
Brady.
Right, but that's not reality.
No.
Like, even if your teenage son, I think, is disconnected from you, or you don't have a strong relationship, and I don't think that's true when you see them as a family unit.
No, that's definitely not true.
No, his dad and him have a very strong bond. I've met, you know, friends of mine, people I know whose parents have had affairs.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah.
And they're so angry.
I mean, maybe he doesn't know.
No, but he does, because I'm sure he does. Because
I can't imagine Steve would be the kind of person like, we broke up because your mother cheated on me.
Yeah, but that's also an interesting plot point, right, that they totally skated over.
Yeah.
They didn't address any of that.
Yeah, no, you're right. Exactly. The only reason I'm saying it is because we don't actually know. Yeah,
which would have made a much more interesting thing, because really at the essence of what Sex and the City is was an examination of human behaviour.
Yeah.
And I feel like in this last two episodes they've gone, I know what we're going to do. We're going to kind of sexy it all up again, and we're going to make them all feel like they're all young and single again, and we're going to launch them off into a new season. And now I'm so just not looking forward to the direction of the next season, because I feel like they've just taken this weird kind of U-turn, and it's become the show that I was always scared it was going to be.
Yeah.
And for the first 8 episodes, it wasn't.
I think so, like, you know, that the ideas at the start to, like, give them all their own story arcs and all of those things, that was really unique. And Carrie having to deal with grief and Miranda's marriage and falling in love with somebody who's non-binary, and Charlotte having a non-binary kid and what comes with all of that, and even, like, Samantha being away, which we'll get to. all of that is really interesting and an interesting shake-up. But you're right, it also felt to me a bit like what they did with the first movie, where all of these things happened, and then they're just like, that's fine.
Exactly.
Everything's actually all right. It's actually everything you thought, everything's the same. Don't even worry.
Yeah. that's exactly right. And everything kind of like gets wrapped up in a sort of weird bow, but doesn't really, because nothing, life doesn't happen like that. And in the actual TV series, there were so many characters and story arcs that were ongoing and messy and difficult throughout the whole thing. And this felt like suddenly, just like the colours of that bar mitzvah were so bright and rainbow, which, you know, I love all of
they
that.
They mitzvah.
They mitzvah, you're
well, it became
right.
a bar mitzvah.
It did in the end, but they mitzvah. And I get all of that, but it felt like it suddenly went into this sort of storybook land.
Yeah.
Which is where we were with, like, that huge wedding at the start of the second movie.
Yeah, that was atrocious.
You know, all of that stuff.
Also, Charlotte's not eating that bread. I'm watching what's going on. Anthony comes in, by the way, always killing it every line. He has a joke how he knows that all the meta cut, like it's all good stuff.
Yeah.
But she's just like, this is good bread. Like as she like pushes it to her closed mouth. Nobody's eating bread in this show, Claire. It's not real.
Yeah, I know.
But I also liked that Rock was like, I don't want any of this. I don't want to be like labeled a thing. I don't want to, you know, be known as any gender. I don't want to be a part of this any religion or whatever. And I felt like this is far from my experience, but that's the way how I feel about a lot of things. Of just like, no, I don't want to deal with that. You can do it, but I'm not gonna do it. Again, not my experience, very dissimilar. But I liked that of just like, I'm just not doing that. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I knew
Rock is the
unsung
hero of this series, is what I'm saying.
Oh, look, I totally agree with that because I think I was speaking I was speaking to my osteo.
Oh, okay.
Because my back's been real bad because I'm basically Carrie Bradshaw.
Mm.
And you're, you know, except Mr. Big is alive because you gave me a back rub and I appreciated it.
You're welcome. I didn't fix
things.
It.
No, you didn't. Mm. But anyway, that's why my osteo is for. Anyway, I was speaking to him about it. And he was saying, and this is a completely different topic, but the same thing.
What did he think of this episode?
I haven't asked whether he's watched it.
Yeah.
But what he was saying was the end result of all of this questioning and talking about, you know, non-binary, about gender, about identity and sexuality, all of these things.
Well, you guys go places in your osteo sessions, don't you?
No, I don't know how that came up.
Mm.
But it was interesting.
That's good though. It is a good conversation to have though.
It was a really interesting conversation to have. Oh, it was because he listened to my episode with Eve Reese.
Oh, really?
Which is
by coincidence?
My show, Taunts. Yeah.
Does he follow you on
I think he does. Oh, okay. And he follows your stuff too.
Tell him to stay out of my business. If you listen to this, stay out of my... No, he's a good dude. Sorry, go
anyway,
on.
Anyway, he is. What he was saying though was that maybe at the end of the day when we get down to it, it's just about not having any labels at all.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that because I think, and like, you know, a lot of people have said this, there is a difference between sex and gender and a lot of things to do, you know, with what it is to be male or female, they are constructs, you know.
Yeah.
The example I saw recently was like in the 17th century France, like to be a man, you'd have a big white powdered wig and like lead paint like over your face and you're wearing like a tiny little corset and little sparkly shoes.
Puffy pants.
Yeah, and that was like the peak of masculinity. But if you wore that now, there would be a different reaction to how you look. Yeah. So I think a lot of the things of like what it means to be a man or a woman, like how you dress, what you enjoy, even like how you work out and what your body looks like, do you know what I mean? What you do with your facial hair or your body hair and all of these different things, they're constructs, you know? And I think that's what people get caught up on, that like, you know, well, these people can paint their nails, but these people can't or whatever, you know what I mean? These are just arbitrary rules that don't mean anything. And it also doesn't mean that you have to do any of them, but like, why do you care if somebody is just making their own way in the world, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's fucking bananas to me that like people like interfere with what somebody else wants to be. And it's always framed under like, think of children, whatever. It's like, you're not thinking of children. You're frightened because the world is leaving you behind, as it should, die in a ditch. Anyway, go on.
Oh,
no, I don't.
That's just a little harsh. Is that a little harsh? No, I completely agree. I was listening to a podcast the other day with Glennon Doyle, and she was talking to Martha Beck, who is a really famous kind of motivational sort of life coach, for want of a better word, but she's really not like that at all. She's kind of like that anti-positivity person.
Yeah.
She's really funny and down-to-earth and interesting. But what the essence of her kind of belief system is that what we really need to do is drop the worry about what other people are going to think of us and about all of the social constructs that kind of keep us trapped and make us feel exhausted and center ourselves in our own knowing about what feels warm and good for us.
Yeah.
And if that means disappointing other people in your life, well, so be it.
Yeah.
Because I think so much of what we do and what keeps us miserable and stuck is all this kind of social construction of like rigid form filling and keeping up with the Joneses and making everything look perfect and having the perfect X, Y, and Z, you know, the perfect outfit, perfect car, perfect TV, trying to make sure that no one knows all of the things about what we actually are, which is human and kind of animals really and messy and not fitting into particular boxes. And she also said, what is good and true and freeing for one person will not be the same for another person.
Yeah.
And you have to be okay that sometimes you're going to disappoint people because you know in yourself that actually you shouldn't go to that thing. You need to stay home because you're exhausted. And then what happens is that people sort of turn themselves into martyrs around wanting to please everyone else to the point where then when they're doing the things for everyone else, they're actually angry because they're bringing in, you know, that angry energy of like, fine, I'll do that.
I'll
just do all of this and be resentful about it.
Mm.
And it goes back to the same thing I've listened to Brené Brown say about compassion, and the most compassionate people are those that have really, really strong boundaries. And so if you can enter into situations, which it sounds counterintuitive, thinking of yourself first.
Yeah. It's that thing of, and you mentioned this the other day, like with kids, putting the mask on yourself.
Yeah, so then you've got enough to give others. I mean, Martha Beck is an example of a doctor she was speaking to who was caring for patients in a hospital in a really low socioeconomic area.
Right.
And she was saying how actually that doctor, in order to do her work, needed to make sure that 70% of her energy and time was focused on herself so that then she had enough energy and time to give to the other people there. And if that became out of whack, she very quickly burnt out. And you see that a lot. Like if you just give without filling up something within you and listening to your own sense of being, you end up burning out and being of no use to anyone, let alone to yourself. And I know that's a long tangent, but I think at the end of the day we're human beings, right? And society wants to trap us putting labels on us in all different ways, and it's just, go rock.
And it's capitalism also.
But it is. It's capitalism. It totally because is. Capitalism teaches us that we need to be of value and of use and of service and of production.
Yeah.
So that we ourselves are always sort of outputting whatever like, work.
And this is, this is a tangent within a tangent within a tangent. But like it's like, you know, you hear people say, well, the post office doesn't, you know, the post office costs us so much money a year. It's like, no, that's what it's a service. It's not supposed to make money. Like it's a service that you pay for through your taxes. You know what I mean? Not everything is like needs to have, you know, not everything needs to be a big money generating thing.
Exactly. And I think, and look, this also comes from privilege because at a certain point you need to have enough income and to be live a stable life.
That's why there should be universal healthcare, free education for all, and also a universal basic income for everybody. Like, and then you can earn a salary on top of that.
Socialism and communism.
It's not,
James.
But that's not. It's just That's just looking after people. That's all that is. Like, take money. Say in Australia, you could do from all the mining that has happened, and some countries do this, and funnel it instead of towards a couple of people.
Or give overseas.
Give it to everybody. Because it's, you know, everybody who lives here or whatever. Anyway, fucking whatever. That's a whole other thing.
Welcome to And Just Like That.
Biggest
the podcast where we actually just dissect all the problems that are wrong wrong with society and ignore the actual episode. But that's how bad this episode was.
Big is cursed, though. It is trapped in a lamp. Like the genie from Aladdin.
So weird.
Or Jafar, more like it, because he's evil and I'm glad he's dead. I was thinking he was in hell. Carrie's like, he's smoking in heaven. I'm like, no, he's in hell. No, or trapped in this lamp.
I just saw him like Hades from, you know, like, you know.
From Hercules?
From Hercules, yeah, big, from the cartoon Hercules. Yeah. He would really, Chris North would really fit in with that whole
thing. He certainly would. So it's interesting because, like, first of all, she's like, what do I do with him? And I'm like, just put him in a bin. Who cares? But as you mentioned, taking him to France, and she has a dream where she sees him.
Weird too.
And it's very clear. Like, if I didn't even know that he was cancelled for real life horrible stuff, I'd be like, that scene was cut very weirdly.
Yeah.
Because they did, we mentioned this in an earlier episode, they did film a sequence together where they cut out because of the allegations that were, that multiple allegations that came to light.
And look, I absolutely think that, you know, all the things that have happened and with Chris North and everything, very deserved, obviously.
Yep.
However,
it did feel
from a character
hollow.
Perspective, yeah. It feels really strange because he's obviously still, like, the actor is alive.
Yeah.
It did feel very strange that he does not appear in her memories.
Didn't work at all.
It just didn't. It fell completely flat. Yeah. And it was also really confusing. And that was what I also really hated about it. Big was such a huge character, like him or loathe him, in the show, right?
Sucks, but sorry, go on.
Yeah, I know he does. I'm not saying he's a good character. He's kind
but
to
you're
her,
right, he's a big.
But I thought what is so much more interesting, I was hoping her brother would sit down and, like, divulge some terrible things about Big or
I was thinking, like, oh, this is where he's like, you give me all your money or whatever.
Yeah, because something else that would have been really interesting is, yeah, if suddenly she's got, like, Big's investments had fallen over or something interesting had happened to
or
kind
he
of.
Killed somebody.
Yeah, God.
And now Carrie has to go to jail.
He's part of the mafia.
Season two. Yeah, season two. It's Orange is the New Black, but it's Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah,
trying to fashion a gown out of an orange jumpsuit. Yeah.
Whereas, and I just feel like it didn't do that. It didn't go anywhere really interesting.
No.
It kind of tried to turn it back into a sex and relationship show, like surface level show.
Speaking of, their podcast still sucks. We got the final episode at the start, and when they're talking about what's the biggest breakup, well, I got broken up over shut up. And Carrie's then like, death is the ultimate breakup or whatever, or someone, and then they're like, yeah, let's make that a t-shirt. And I'm like, oh, this is some hot content. And then they go, we got any callers? And I'm like, is this a radio show? What's happening? I thought this was a podcast.
I think
it's both. So thank Christ X, Y, and Me is over as a series because Shay has moved to California. And then Carrie's producers are like, hey, I like what you're doing. Would you like to do a show that's more suited to you? You know, just giving out generic advice to Rubes. And she's like, hey, I'd love to do that actually. That's my speciality.
What do you mean, Rubes?
You know, people ring in, they're like, bam, 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 bam. Carrie's like, just believe in your friends.
I know what you mean, I've never heard the word Rubes.
Rube is like someone being tricked or something, whatever.
Oh, okay. But that's also weird because, I mean, I know it's very rare like for a podcast column to have a live call-in function.
Yeah, it's both. I mean, radio shows do that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that is true. It does feel more
it's
like a
radio better for her,
show.
And it's better for her. Like, it's better suited for her. It's more it her is. Style and format and because she's not like – like a media personality in the way that, you know what I mean?
I
like,
know, exactly.
I can't
what
even explain
I also,
it.
What annoyed me though was even the way the last sort of line of the show when she's, you know, being
oh my God, she said the name of the show, Claire.
When she's dishing out advice to this poor person that's rung in. It was such boring advice.
It's also like
it was just like the future
that's what I'm saying.
Is unwritten. What the hell does that even mean?
It could mean anything. All you need is two good friends. Like I have.
Yeah,
and
one
then
or
you'll
two.
Be fine. What about, like, I don't have any friends because he alienated me from everybody that I know? Or, like, all my friends sided with him or whatever, or I'm on the other side of the country. She just went on this. I feel like she put the person on mute and then just went, so just have two good friends and thanks for listening to Sex in the City, the show,
it
whatever.
Was so weird. I just felt like it was awful. And the podcast episode at the beginning, I just felt
tragic.
Like it was so awful. And they were talking about bad breakups. She could have easily referred to the sticky note you know, when she gets broken up with on a post-it by Berger. Mm-hmm. And I know that's obvious, but it's a throwback to the old episode, and it would have matched the lightness in
death
which
is not
they were talking.
A, like, death is not a breakup.
No, and exactly. And also the Carrie of the first 8 episodes would not have had it in her to make that kind of joke. And I
can't
think
believe
anyone...
that show lasted a year. That's crazy.
But also, a year since Big died, right?
Yeah.
That's not long enough for her to be okay with just being like, death's the ultimate breakup.
Oh, yeah, you win, Carrie. You're actually, let's make a T-shirt about your dead husband.
No.
Put his face on it. I'm dead. I broke up and I'm in the river.
So do you know what one of the scenes I felt like actually worked?
Okay.
Which was good. Was Dr. Nia Wallace and Miranda Hobbs.
Very short, got information like out of both of them in a very natural. They're a good pairing.
They're a really good pairing. And I think the reason it worked was because Nia was, unlike the weird Carrie bathroom scene, Nia was able to challenge Miranda's choice in a way that a friend would and also show her own pain.
Yeah.
And I think what was interesting was her talking about how her partner has gone on tour and it appears that maybe they'll be breaking up over the fact that he wants
Speaking of breaking up, just drop my bloody wedding ring.
Over the fact that he wants a baby and she doesn't.
Yeah.
And the pain on her face, that moment was probably the one moment in the show that I felt hit an emotional chord that was relatable. And also their relationship together, two really smart, intelligent women. I think I also struggle with the idea that Miranda, with all her feminist ideals and all, you know, just because she's a rigid person and she's had some very conservative views, I find it hard to believe that she would just throw away a really hard-won internship to do human rights work, which she was so passionate about in the first few episodes.
I remember.
To sit in a crowd that she doesn't really, in a world she doesn't really get. Mm. With Shay, and it's not that I don't think, you know, you shouldn't follow your heart and
she's in love and whatever, but yeah, I get
I know what you
saying.
Mean, and people do all kinds of things are in the when they're in love. I totally get that.
I liked that she was at least aware of it, just like, I know this is probably terrible, but I'm just gonna do this thing for me or whatever.
I just wish that they had done a scene with Steve,
a
proper scene with Steve where,
you know, it would have been good. They cut to the show, Steve's there. And he's working backstage and he's trying to sabotage a sandbag to fall on Shay's head. And he lives there.
Shay
like the Phantom of the Opera. Steve.
Steve. Yeah, I love it.
Steve of the sitcom, they could call him.
Steve. Rah, 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 rah. And he's there just like with a half mask on.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, just like rowing a gondola. Miranda.
I've kidnapped you, Miranda. Oh, Steve. I like your new hair, Miranda. Let me go, Steve. What are you doing? What?
It's the Phantom of the Opera. Miranda. It's the Phantom of the Opera. Steve Brady of the Opera.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Maybe he'll come back in the next season.
Yeah, maybe.
But speaking of someone who might come back in the next season, you had a moment
a moment.
With Samantha Speculation, I saw it in your eyes where you were like, this could happen.
I saw it.
I saw it in you.
I know.
You can't deny it.
I know, it's settling. They got me. They got me in. And what was so funny was I saw you get, you went and did a nervous wee.
I did before
then. You went a nervous wee.
Okay, so it started with, okay, if you don't know, you've just tuned into this episode.
I mean,
for
why
some
are you
reason.
Listening to this?
Why are you listening? No, but every week I'll be talking about, is Samantha going to show up? And I'm like 99% sure that she's not going to, but I'm keeping that glimmer of hope. And Claire is like, definitely not. The actress in real life has no interest. And it turns out, obviously,
and
you were
correct. And may I say, I'm absolutely correct.
Yeah.
I stand by my
I would have
choice.
Rubbed this in your face so hard.
I know you would have.
About.
I know, which is part of, it was like this like really weird mix of emotion for me. Because on one hand, I was like, oh my God, they should come back. And the other hand, I was like, no, he can't be right. And I was torn. I was so, like Natalie Imbruglia style torn.
That's right. So Carrie messaged her and was like, I had my kiss, and she's like, how was it? She's like, yeah, whatever. And she's like, the first of many.
This is Samantha, by the way.
Yeah.
Samantha's
sorry.
Doing
and then
Carrie's
want
doing
to
that
talk,
text exchange.
Want to talk. And then she says, soon. So the table is set, right?
Yes.
Or should I say the rug pull is set. And so then after Carrie dumps his ashes.
Yeah. And
at that point, I'm like, this isn't happening.
She's wearing
yeah.
pink rubber gloves, and James pauses it. Because they're in Paris and he looks at me and he's like, in Paris or London or whatever.
That's why London and Paris. Well, I said that way before then when Carrie's like, I'm going over. I'm like, interesting. There's Paris and London.
And also,
it's like an hour flight.
And the
you can get a train under the ground.
And also the other thing was Miranda and Charlotte both couldn't go. So Carrie's going on her own.
Yep.
And so it was set up for this sort of
I thought
like,
Charlotte could go.
She could, but she decided not to go.
Okay.
Because Carrie decided she wanted to do it on her own. And I guess if Miranda wasn't going, I don't know, she wanted to do it on her own.
There was like part of me which wishes like she looked up and you just saw like her in the distance. You could use like a stand-in or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But
and you could leave it like that. So the drink happened also.
Yeah. And I reckon,
we just didn't say it.
That's really annoying.
I kind of won then, didn't I, in a way?
No, you totally didn't win. I was absolutely correct.
I nearly won.
You know, no, that's not how it works. And like you nearly won a gold medal. No, you lost. You lost, mate. You lost.
But
just admit it.
It was, I lost.
Thank you.
But
I was always right.
I saw it in you.
Yeah, but it didn't happen. It was the fear of someone who knows they're going to win, but then maybe it's swept out under them. It's the fear of the person that was ice skating at the front of the pack before Steve Bradbury just kind of like suddenly sails past them and
well
they're lying on the floor.
Steve Bradbury, well learnt because he didn't fall over. He earned that Winter
Very
Olympic
much
skating
well
medal.
Well learnt. I'm not saying no shade on Steve Brady, as Charlotte would say, no shade.
However,
that was the feel. It was the feel of like, oh, I'm almost at the finish line, but also a little glimmer of hope because I would have loved to have seen her because that is something that was missing over the last couple of episodes.
You notice it, don't
you?
More and more.
Do you know why you notice it? Because they have reverted back to
the old format
and they're trying to bring it back to the old show. And I fucking hate that because it's not the old show. It can't be the old show. And if they're trying to
– everything's too woke. It can't be the old show.
No, but it's not that. It's that the characters like watching –
do we ever get
like,
that
regress.
Woke button installed? We should get it if we do season 2.
We totally should.
Woke alert.
We could actually get you to do that
totally.
On our little thing. We've got all these different sound effects we never use. I'm so disappointed in them. I feel like they almost, it's like you, where you feel like you almost got the Samantha Speculation come off. But
you know, it
payoff,
feels like it feels like The Rise of Skywalker, the movie. I don't know if you ever saw the third in the sequel trilogy.
No.
Just fucking fumbled it hard at the end. I mean, a lot of people didn't like The Last Jedi. I liked it a lot. And then just like, ugh, why did you, the Emperor's back.
It's like,
God, you're doing a million Death Stars? Like it was like that at the end.
So depressing. It's like having a lovely cheesecake that you might pass around mouth to mouth.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
And putting tomato sauce all over it. It's just like they've
made
suddenly
it good either
just
way.
Ruined, like fumbled the ball at the very last hurdle.
Those are some crazy metaphors you're mixing there, Claire. But let me tell you this then. Let me ask you this. What's next? Are we going to get Samantha next season? Let's do it now. What are we doing? Is she coming back? I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say hard no.
I'm going to say 50-50. No, you know what? 100% yes.
All right.
I'm going for it.
Okay.
This season, I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen. Next season, I'm putting it all on the table.
All right. Because there is a massive part of me that wants it to happen. But I think after seeing those last two episodes.
They certainly wrote it how she could have at the last minute like done a scene or just showed up.
And I wonder if they did that on purpose.
100% I would say.
If they were hoping that she would.
Because then you wouldn't even need to get them together. You could just film her and she's just like standing at a distance. You know what I mean?
Totally.
You wouldn't even need them in the same room and she'd get like $100,000 or whatever.
It's so interesting, isn't it, that the last two episodes, well, I think it's interesting. It's probably not interesting to many people. It's just so interesting.
If you're listening to this, it's probably interesting. Your pop filter's a bit askew at the front there. Yeah,
sorry, I'm all askew. I got all my rage. Is that better?
Is this a radio show or podcast? I can't tell you what.
God, I can't tell. We're going to do a call in now with Kim Cattrall.
I would love that. Oh, my God. I have so many questions about Kim. I'd ask her about Mannequin. Oh, my God. I have so many questions. I'd ask her about How I Met Your Father. I'd watch all the new episodes of that show I haven't seen yet. But anyway, go on.
It's just really interesting to me that Kim Cattrall is a person, like all of us, sitting in her house, presumably watching the series.
You reckon?
I reckon you couldn't not. I reckon you just couldn't not at least watch it. I mean, it would be really painful, but I feel like she would have watched it. And then what are you thinking after that? Like she said, she supposedly has burnt every bridge, right, with everyone, from production team down. However, everyone is still saying that they've left the door open.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, I know, obviously, because she would be – I don't know. I just don't know what she would do. And I think in my heart of hearts that it's a hard no. And the reason I think it's a hard no is because of those last two episodes. They were so shitful.
Yeah.
And I just feel like.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah.
I feel like if it had been a home run at the end of the season, I would have felt like she would need to come back. But now looking at the direction they're trying to take the show, I feel like I don't want her to come back because.
I mean, look, things can turn around and, you know, seasons have dud episodes and whatever, and maybe they're building to something that we don't know at the moment, you know what I mean?
That's
true. For example, you told me, you said these words.
I did.
You told me that Aiden was coming. You told me that. You said he would return. And I was waiting. He wasn't. I thought he was going to be in the elevator at the end. Chirp's door. He's like, hello, I work here too. I've been here the whole time. I worked in this radio studio.
See, that would have brought it back into. And I. Because I'm sure.
Or is that
read,
just old Sex and the
City? No, I'm sure that I read that he was coming back.
Yeah.
I'm sure of it. Maybe I imagined it because I love Aiden. Maybe I imagined it. But I'm sure I read that that particular actor had said
John
he was
Corbett
back.
Confirmed his involvement in the series last spring.
Thank you. I did read. I didn't hallucinate. He did confirm he was coming back.
That's so weird.
Isn't that weird? And he just didn't show up in it at all. Not even a second of the show. Maybe he was in it and they cut it?
I don't know.
He filmed it or...
I have no idea.
Or they decided not to write it in?
You wouldn't cut it, right?
I don't know. Unless they took it in a different direction or something.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know. Because that's that... Okay, good.
He'll be back.
I didn't hallucinate that. I know. See, and that to me even... Having Aiden show up would have been interesting. I feel like you know what else it was missing, and maybe this is one of the reasons it doesn't feel like a complete episode.
Mm.
I feel like they didn't say a proper goodbye to Big.
Yeah.
Even though I know he's terrible, I know why, I know Chris Renos deserves allegedly to be cancelled, all those things.
I think there's a difference between also like people confuse like getting cancelled with like, no, you sexually assaulted a bunch of people. Do you know what I mean? It's not, they're not the same. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, yeah. And there is no part of me that doesn't think that he should be brought to justice and, you know, go through the court of law, all of those things. But I'm just going to shelve that for a minute and we're just talking about a fictional show.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
And Chris North is not Mr. Big.
Yeah.
In terms of a narrative arc of the show, if the show began grounded in the idea of losing the biggest love of your life and in grief, I feel like people who are watching the show from a perspective of someone who's lost someone and is grieving, they didn't do it justice.
Yep.
They didn't do Kerry justice. They didn't follow through with what they started. Mm. They didn't show what it's really like to lose that person. A year is not long at all.
Yeah.
And they didn't do a proper goodbye to Big in a way that felt heartbreaking and really sort of visceral and sad and also celebratory, which I know maybe they had that and they had to cut it. But either way, it feels like it wasn't a complete episode.
Hollow.
And then it was hollow, yeah. Because ending it with her just like frivolously kissing Mr. Peter Jackson in the elevator just felt like a bit of a kick in the teeth to people who watched it, and I guess me, for example, and really thought about it as an examination of grief.
Mm.
You know, in a really heightened world. And I have to say the fashion still was incredible.
Still looking good in those rubber gloves.
Yeah, and so the cinematography on the sets and things, amazing. But it lacked the heart that I feel like most of the season had.
I feel – so I've just searched on Twitter for what's going on with Aiden. I found this tweet from Bailey Kennedy who says, "I think I speak for everyone when I say, where the hell is Aiden?" And Banner Boy responds by saying, "Playing basketball with Steve." And I like to think that that's true. That's what's happening.
And see, that would have been a really interesting storyline. Because
they're like, we got broken up with by these women.
Again. No, or just Aiden and Steve are supposed to be really good mates. So that would have been. And legitimately, if Steve's been cheated on, which he has been, which they seem to have glossed over.
Yes.
And
Aiden was also cheated on.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's not why they ended up breaking up in the end.
But even just as a mate, you would be there for your friend, right? If Steve's going through a divorce.
Yeah.
So that would have been such an interesting thing to bring him back into the world in that way. And look, I know if they're doing a second season, there's a lot of room and time in the show to do other things with it. But I just feel like there was no real big dramatic anything. It kind of just ended.
Yep.
Don't you think?
Yep.
There wasn't.
That's why, again, not good enough as a standalone series, not also good enough as a ongoing series because, like, either way,
boring. Like, it sort of just set it up for most of the characters to be kind of on little dating escapades and Steve to be non-existent and Brady to just be cool with his mum.
I'm cool,
completely
Brady.
Changing her identity.
I look like the guy from Ratatouille. I'm Brady.
But also, wouldn't that have been interesting to get some scenes with Brady kind of unpacking
maybe we
what's
will.
Happening with his mum?
You know what I think the next season is going to be? It's going to be, like in the same way that this initially was, addressing a lot of the problems with this. You know, like this one kind of addressed like the movies, and by that I mean like took it in a direction that those second movie was not.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get like it's going to be like reactionary to this, and maybe for the first few episodes we'll be like, maybe this is all right.
And then it's going to go bad again.
Yeah, I don't know. But you know what? Shows ebb and flow and whatever. But I'll tell you this much, Claire.
Yeah.
This show never ebbs and flows. It's always high quality. I would even say it's worth 5 stars. And this is your opportunity, if you could, to leave a review for this show, just like Miller1679 has said. And just like that, I have a new favorite podcast. What a blessing. A funny podcast that isn't afraid to poke fun at all the silly aspects of And Just Like That, while also recognizing there is value in both Sex and the City and Just Like That, even if it's just for the fashion inspo. A true joy of a podcast. Thanks, guys. Much appreciated. You can do that in-app. And, you know, are we going to come back and do this again, Claire?
Yes. I'm excited about it. I feel so angry. Of course we are. Of course we are.
Okay. Well, we'll see, won't we? But you have an email to read out. Or have you got more things?
Oh, look. No, that's okay. I've debriefed.
Bit about.
I feel like I just have so many feelings about it.
You can tell from all your feelings you're telling.
I have so many feelings.
Even the way you're telling me that you've got feelings makes me think you've got feelings.
All right. So I have quite an interesting email addressing something for our boy Steve.
Our boy Steve?
From Charity Elkins.
Okay.
Hey, Claire and James.
What up?
I love your most successful podcast, Suggestible.
That is not true. That is, numbers do not lie, and that is not true.
All right, whatever. Pipe down over there. But sometimes it's not about quantity, it's just about quality.
That's true.
And the quality of our listeners is so excellent. Anyway, so of course I had to listen to this podcast about Sex and the City and Just Like That, a show I've never seen.
Of course.
Long story short, I love this podcast and I'm planning on catching up on the original show at some point. But honestly, the reason I'm writing is to say hashtag justice for Steve. Mm-hmm. I love that she's never watched the show, but even she understands that our boy needs some justice. Cleanliness, she says, is important to me. Not to be gross, but I often ask my partner if his hands are clean before getting into sexy times. Not that he's dirty. I just don't want any weird infections down there. So So if he ever said he wanted to wash his hands first, I would be honestly so happy.
There you go. Good.
In my opinion, Steve is completely justified in wanting to wash his hands first. Here's to hoping that our boy Steve finds happiness. Charity Rose. Oh, Charity. I feel like so far he may not even appear at all in the second season, but I like to think he's off living his life somewhere.
I like to think so too. His wedding ring's still on. I like to think so too. Wow. What a wonderful person.
Correct. Exactly. And on that note, that's the end of the show.
That is the end of the show.
And I like that we've ended on a clear message of wash your hands.
Wash your fucking hands, everyone.
Everybody wash your hands. Keep it clean, not mean.
That's a great
way
to put it.
As I always say.
All right. And also, thank you to everybody for coming along on this absolutely wild ride. And I just love ending on a downer. You know what I mean? Just being like,
how are you feeling there about your Samantha speculation? How are you feeling now that you lost?
It was never going to happen. I knew that in my heart.
There was a nervous Peter. There was a moment. Both of us thought.
There was I was okay with, but you know what I mean? It's good to have hope. I think that's okay.
I think.
Because isn't that representative of the show?
Yes.
In general. Just like, oh, maybe this, oh no.
Maybe this thing that was getting me through the past 6 weeks is now just like.
10 weeks?
10 weeks. Maybe it was something and now it's not.
Now it's nothing.
No, it's like Jerry Seinfeld does this bit about how a meal can be super delicious, but if you eat one too many bites, it can be terrible.
Mm.
And you suddenly don't want any of it and it's ruined the whole thing. I feel like this is what's happened. Maybe I should just, it's like with the second movie, I pretend it doesn't exist. Maybe I just need to pretend the second, like the two last episodes just didn't happen.
Maybe. All right. Maybe. Thanks, everybody. And thank you so much to Raw Collings for putting
you, Collings,
in the extra edit on this, everyone.
I know. My goodness. All right.
Really appreciate it.
And we'll see you at Suggestible in our other podcast feed if you're up for some more chit-chatter.
There's a new episode up every Thursday or Wednesday evening or something like that. There's a huge back catalogue. We obviously just did one starting off for the new year. We both talked about very interesting things. If you do want to check it out, Collings will also link that below. Thank you very much.
This is Suggestible.
We're going to go.
And the city. It's disappointing, but it's okay. We'll go on.
Yeah, there'll be other shows.
Bye.
It's probably better than the Carrie Diaries. Probably.
It's probably better than a hole in your head.
Yeah, probably that too.
Probably. Okay. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.